Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? It's the show where you control what's on the agenda. Ask us anything and we're broad bound to answer. So, Rick Nash, Corporate King, I'm the queen of Irish wrestling, baby.
I don't know what's going on.
It's Ask Low Blows.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
I took my headphones off because I can't listen to the intros. I freak out hearing myself on like podcasts or streams or.
You're not in that intro.
Well, I wouldn't know that because I took my fucking headphones off, didn't I? Like,
it's literally just if you're okay to hear your name said, there's no quotes from you in it. Like,
oh, I thought it was the same one as the main one.
No. This is the shorter Ask Low Blows. So it's literally just saying Corporate Keen. Like, so if you can withstand your name being said, you'd be good for this.
Grand. Well, hi. How's everyone on this Friday evening?
It's actually Friday morning.
What?
Yeah, it comes out at 6 a.m.
I knew that. I misread the clock. I knew that, obviously. Like,
it's 5 a.m. in the morning when we're recording this to be released at 6 a.m.
Exactly.
Frankly, I've seen and the support we have, people coming onto an early morning Zoom call, Katie setting her alarm for 4:30. Well, I suppose you're probably used to it with the gym opening and stuff like that. You just go into the old schedule. Corporate Keen, still awake from the night before. I don't imagine you sleep that much.
Well, no, because I'm so ready for Ask Low Blows. I don't want to fall asleep in case like, I accidentally lie in. So I stay awake for the whole thing. Like, I'm proper excited. So, yeah. Will we hop into the questions?
Let's do it. We'll see. Kendo, are you there? Can you unmute yourself now?
Yes, I can.
How can you still unmute yourself? That's not a setting that I want.
Not at the setting that you've got, so you're just going to have to learn to live with it.
It worked out well this time.
Yeah, for now, until I turn evil. But yes, I am back. We're back on the mountaintop. I'm going to call it Mountaintop Madness until I get bored of this gimmick and like change it to something else. This week, you have, it's just all people again, but there's a catch. I'm only going to give you the nickname of the person. You have to choose knowing off that. I'll give you the full name and the context after you make your choice. Okay. They're all Irish.
All right, grand. Irish sports stars nicknames. I like it.
First up, Brick or Bubbles?
I definitely want to be like there with someone nicknamed Brick because I feel like they'll be able to handle themselves.
Yeah, but like, what if like, I'd imagine like when I think of like Brick, I think, all right, he's a tank, you know what I mean? Or he or she is going to, like, they could beat the fuck out of anyone. But like, what if they decide to beat the shit out of you though? You know what I mean? That's the thing. Yeah. But then Bubbles,
I'm lovable.
Yeah, you don't know that though. What if Brick
banking on it?
Or what if Brick is your man from the middle?
Oh no,
because it's another sports star. Yeah, shit.
But he's real smart anyway, so even if it was him.
Maybe they're named after Brick. Oh, and then if that's the case, they can solve loads of problems. I'm going with Brick. That is, oh yeah, that was a good one.
I think I'm going to go with Bubbles. Bubbles sounds like good crack. I'm not like, I don't necessarily, there's no threat. Like, we're just on a mountaintop. I don't need anyone to beat the shit out of anyone else. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's no, that hasn't been spoken about. So I'm going to go with the person that's better crack.
There's always a threat. Like a gang of people on a mountaintop fighting for survival, there's always a threat. Have you not seen Alive?
This is just like, yeah, and I'm gonna pick the person who's less likely to eat me. Like a Brick, like you bring the worst example up where it's like a bunch of people who cannibalize each other. I'm gonna pick the person that I'm gonna be able to eat more than likely, and I think I'm gonna, well, you can't eat Bubbles, but you can't really eat Bricks, you're gonna ruin your teeth.
Well, the only Bubbles I know is Michael Jackson's monkey. And I'm not sure like that would be a good move on this mountain. Because he seemed like quite a rowdy monkey.
So. I'm just reading the chat. Jay says you're missing one Irish star with the finest nicknames, Chris Fields, known as Chris the Killing Fields or the Housewife's Choice. I love Chris Fields, just a side note. That's the lad that was on The Ultimate Fighter. That would have been, yeah. I mean, nice. I'd pick him if he's here, but I don't know. I don't think he is unless he's Brick or Bubbles. I'm going with Brick.
Kendo can't unmute himself. That's what you get.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, wait.
You should be all right now, Kendo.
It's very interesting that Katie and you mentioned Bubbles, Michael Jackson's monkey, because that's actually who the Bubbles in this question is named after. Brick is Michael Brick Walsh, the Waterford hurler, who is the younger brother of his of Kevin Block Walsh. And John Bubbles O'Dwyer is the half forward for Tipperary, nicknamed so because when he was a baby, he was extremely hairy and Bubbles the monkey was a big thing at the time. So both kind of dangerous, but both lovable too, I suppose.
Why is he called the Brick?
Because his brother was Block.
Oh, right.
That's gas.
By the way, before we go any further, I'd like to give a shout out and a big congratulations to, we should have said this at the top, but the brand new journalist for the Irish Mirror, David Kent. Congratulations on the new job. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you, everybody. Journalist suppressed again. No comment.
Amazing. He's going to be looking for scoops off as soon. So, Katie Harvey, watch what you say. You're the one who's going to get the headlines. you're literally in this meeting with a paparazzi at the moment.
Right. There's a correct answer to this one, but you'll know why after. Rasher or Bomber?
I feel like I've heard of Rasher before. Have I?
Kendo doesn't have access to the entire history of your knowledge.
Oh, that's true.
Do I know Rasher? I don't know what you know.
I know there was an artist called Rasher, but this is about sports stars, isn't there?
Sports.
Maybe
yeah, Irish.
Rasher knows how to cook rashers in Siberian mountain camps, and that's what he was named after. So I'm going with Rasher.
Like, I definitely don't want the Bomber there. And like, if we're talking people from Irish history, it's like, I do want the Bomber jacket, but I don't think if we're talking people from Irish history, it's that kind of Bomber.
Plus, if it's a Bomber jacket, you might even get the chance to wear it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he's going to be famous for it. I'm going to be like, oh, can I wear your jacket? And he's going to be like, no, I'm Bomber. Like, I'm not going to, like, this is what I do. This is all I am. I'm literally named after this.
And so, if you have a Bomber jacket, they might take it off you then. You know what I mean? It might start scraps, like.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go Rasher. Okay. Like, at least just for the smell in the morning, you're just like, oh, it's going to be a good day. Ah, Bollocks was still in the mountain, but still, the smell of rashers in the morning is great. So, yeah. And smells are very important in this, as we've established.
Yeah, I'll go Rasher as well, yeah.
Smells are important, but this particular Rasher is a legendary hurler from the early 20th century. It's not, no idea of the second name, no one really does. But he became famous for being pink and for his skin peeling off during matches.
Oh.
And what he would then do to aggravate his opponent would be to pick up this loose skin and rub it into them. So,
oh, I don't want to be the I don't want to be stuck with it. I don't want to have to sleep in a camp with this person.
Bomber is Owen Bomber Liston, a famous Kerry GAA full forward, whose most notable incident was when he was on an American plane in about 2004, and with a lot of other Irish people who recognised him, they started calling Bomber, and this is post 9/11 America, and he eventually got detained for a couple of hours. By all accounts, a lovely human being.
I'd rather him, to be honest. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Bomber. Late now.
Yeah. Oh, bollocks. We're stuck with the skin peeler.
I love how proper, like, that was. Like, the first one, it could have gone either way, but the second one was like, there was a good answer and a bad answer.
Yeah.
Oh, you like, all fucked it.
Like, that's the villain from Goldmember. Remember the third Austin Powers movie? And that was his whole gimmick.
Shorty.
I hate it so much.
Stop that.
Oh, amazing. Great reference.
The bull or the sparrow?
I am terrified of birds, so I'm going for the bull.
Bulls are usually angry, though. You know what I mean? Like they're a real angry animal. Do you know what I mean? Whereas like the sparrow, I don't know much about it. I think I'll go with the sparrow.
Yeah, sparrow is leaping out to me because again, bull is just, I've never heard, like, well, it could be one of these things, like when someone's really tall and everyone calls them tiny. Do you know what I mean? Like, it could be an ironic nickname in case I think, do you know what? I'm going to choose to believe that the bull is actually not, like, He's not named as such because of his traits, and it's an ironic nickname, and he's actually a lovely, gentle, quiet person. I can't come to any conclusions about the Sparrow, so I don't know what I'm signing up to. And I now no longer trust the questions, so I'm questioning everything after the, I agreed to sign up there with a skin peeler. So I'm going to go for the Bull here.
You're spot on, because the Bull is John Hayes, the legendary Irish prop who, on the pitch, a bit of a beast and a bit obviously dirty. He was a prop, but off the field, one of the nicest rugby players you can get. Nice. The Sparrow is Gerald Loughlin, 1995 All-Ireland winner with Clare. Again, nothing, pretty much harmless, but could still play either way if you wanted to, whereas the Bull is lovely and docile. He's a nice guy.
Okay. So,
next up, the Tubber Curry Tornado, or Nudie.
I think I'll go with the Tubber Curry Tornado on this one.
I take my chances, yeah. Or is this one of these things where, again, I don't trust the questions?
You just have to go. You just have to go with what you think. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna try double bluff what I see in front of me. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna work it out for myself. Whatever my first conclusion is, that's what I'm gonna go with.
Yeah, Katie, what are you thinking? I enjoy saying the word Tubber Curry, so.
I can't think of any other reason someone would be nicknamed Nudie, unless his name was like Jim Nude. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's the only logic. And I probably will be like, it's like a 1977 hurling champion, Jim Nude. And it's N-U for the D is the way it's pronounced or the way it's spelled. Yeah, but I'm going to go to Tubber Curry Tornado, even though it's a bit of a tongue twister. But tongue twisters will keep us entertained on the island or in the mountains. So, I'm going to go for the Tornado.
Although Jimmy Maloney, the chat, you recognised it as Raphael Crataro, former Sligo Rovers Finn Arts legend, is a nice. Turbo Curry Tornado. Nudie is Eugene Nudie Hughes, Monaghan GAA, 1980s-ish. Again, nothing to NSFW about this. He was called Nudie because he ran around naked as a child, not as an adult. So we're okay. It's one of them childhood nicknames that stuck. I'm sure he didn't want it to stick in any way. But once you're known as Nudie, I think that was the end of it.
That's fair, because that's another thing that we need to be taking into consideration, because nicknames are rarely what you want them to be. Do you know what I mean? So maybe it's not a fair representation of the person. So that's an interesting one. Okay, fair.
Biscuit or crumbs?
It's always better to have biscuits than crumbs. So that's my logic.
Is that like a phrase where you grew up or something? So wouldn't you rather be the biscuit than the crumb?
It's definitely what I'm going to probably pass on to my future children as an old phrase.
And you're going to have to then like make up some bullshit for how it's actually an important life lesson that they remember.
Yeah.
And they're going to go around passing it like to their classmates. It's like, better be the biscuit than the crumb. And they're like, that's not a phrase. I just Googled it.
And then my other phrase is going to be, always know your rashers from your bombers.
Oh, you know what? I'm all in on that. I'm going to go biscuits. You've completely sold me. That's like some proper wise advice.
Yeah, no, it does sound like something that makes sense. So I agree. Better be the biscuit than the crumb. And I think that's a solid episode title as well.
So, Spudinho 90 Chris on social media got this as well. It is related to Cork City Football Club. Biscuits is our old goalkeeper, Phil Harrington, from the 1990s and won the league with us. Crumbs is his son, David Harrington, who is currently lining up in goals for City this season. I don't know, I'm not 100% still certain on why Phil Harrington is known as Biscuits. He didn't work in a biscuit factory out and he was a postman. I'm not sure if anyone knows, but Crumbs, again, was screwed once his dad came along, I suppose.
But that's good for the for the Mountain Camp, obviously, five-a-side team. We have our keeper sorted, yeah. Then, you know what I mean? I'd rather go with the league winner than, like, the first division keeper, you know what I mean?
I mean, you also have a guy who feeds his skin to the opponents, so...
Yeah, hopefully the opponents. That would be ideal. Yeah,
yeah, I'm picking him. I'm 100% picking him on my team. Like,
the Salmon of College or the Black Pearl of Inchicore?
I actually know one of these.
If the Salmon of College is who I believe it to be, that is my pick all day, every day.
I know who the Black Pearl of Intercourt is.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
It's Paul McGrath, is it?
Well done.
Yeah, did I get one right?
You are Paul McGrath.
He's I still don't regret my decision. That's what we used to sing as kids.
Paul McGrath all day. Absolute Irish legend. Go on, make the case for Conor Salmon over Paul McGrath. Go on, go for it.
Because, again, the five-a-side, you know, you want to have the best team possible, so you choose the best players. I don't need to elaborate. The Salmon at College is my pick.
I feel confident in my pick.
The Conor Maradona or the Hurricane?
I know the, I know one of these as well.
Go.
Oh, do I?
Gregory Helms. Irish.
Is the Hurricane the Hurricane's the snooker player?
I mean, that's not exactly narrowing it down in any way.
Alex Higgins.
Yes.
Yeah, two in a row. I'm impressed.
Fucking hell. I pick him.
Oh, do I go with the Conor Maradona or a snooker player that I don't know? Snooker player... I don't know. They always just like it's a real laid back sport or something. Do you know what I mean? Compared to like a lot of the mad shit you see elsewhere. You know what I mean? It's kind of like if I'm looking. I mean, but it's not much good if he's, you know, if we're sorting out a good five-a-side team. We have a keeper. We have Conor Salmon. We have a lad who throws the skin at people. I'd imagine I'd be the fourth member. So like, if we're going for like a fifth, ideally it would be a footballer rather than a snooker player. One who's named after Maradona. I'm going to give it a go. We'll see who it is. Go on.
Alex Higgins is one of those people that always kind of, you know, seem to have a bit of a troubled life. Yeah, I don't want to be stuck in the mountain with one of those people. So I'm going to Conor Maradona.
Keen, you're close enough with the idea that he's named after Maradona. He's not. He's named after the area he's from, which is Conor in Cork. It's Liam Kearney. It's just a very creative nickname. Because he's from Connor and the Hurricane, as you mentioned, Alex Higgins, two-time world snooker champion. So your five-a-side's looking strong. there's a right answer in this one if you want a five-a-side, Chippy or the Gooch, which sounds like a rip-off or the Pinky in the Brain.
I know the Gooch. Like anyone who follows Guy knows the Gooch. He's Colin Cooper. But like I wanted to see, and I googled it just to see, like, because I know he was working with Dunn Stores, like launching the clothesline there a few years ago, which is very random, but he's very into fashion and I wanted to see if he was still doing that. Pro tip, don't Google Gooch. didn't think that one through. go on the Gooch, he's dead on.
I'm going to go Chippy just to see who it is.
I'm going to go with the Gooch because in Scrubs, the Jander's girlfriend is called Gooch and she's played by an actress I really like and find very funny. So through that tentative connection, I'm going to pick the Gooch.
Yeah. Rick, do you know who Chippy is? I'm surprised.
What's that?
Do you know who Chippy is?
Not ringing a bell. Though nicknames aren't my strong point, to be honest.
Liam Brady.
Stop. Oh, no. He would have been great in the five-a-side.
Yeah. Brady. Deadly. Honest five-a-side team's going to do bits.
Your five-a-side. I mean, the Gooch is grand for, like, luring other lads out of it. Him and Rash are teaming up would be a formidable back two, but Chippy is the answer there.
Jimmy, you could be right in the chat. He's pointing out it was Paul Gavin that was giving the cloud. You could very well be right. I'm not 100% on that. Yeah.
I mean, naming a clothing line after Gooch would have been an interesting tactic as well.
I thought the underwear range was a bit controversial.
food, cake or cheddar?
At this stage, I'm just going to go what I prefer. I'm going to say cake.
Fair.
Well, I again, no real logic as to who'd be better to live with, but...
Yeah, cake.
I'm going to go cake as well because someone who gets the nickname Cheddar, that can go a lot of different ways and not a lot of them good. So I'm going to go cake here.
Cake is kind of two-headed monster in the sense that it's Shane Curran and Roscommon, the goalkeeper, and on when it was St. Bridget's. But it was one that he loved, Mr. Kipling, and two, everything to him was a piece of cake. So not as horrible as it could have been. Cheddar is Seamus Brennan. Cheddar Brennan, the Laois hurling manager. Again, I've no explanation. No one in Laois has an explanation. I don't even know if Cheddar himself has an explanation about that. I don't know if I want to know.
It's a very Irish thing as well, though, where it's like my and he's worked for Low Blows as well. If you know Benny, like, yeah, a lot of you will have met Benny throughout the years, like where he used to run the door on Low Blows and so on. His name is Owen.
What?
Yep, Benny's not short for anything. He doesn't even it's spelled B-E-N-I, and there's no reason, there's no logic, but his parents call him Benny. Everyone who knows him calls him Benny, and that's like that's the thing. And if like if it's people in work, they call him Owen, and we're like Owen. Like he was telling me last week that like he was talking to his sister's boyfriend on Zoom there the other day, and he's like, "Oh hey Owen," and I'm like, "Oh he's still in the Owen stage, is he? You haven't like kind of brought him in." But yeah, no, that's a very Irish thing where it's like people just decided one day in Mullingar, your name is Benny now, and that's it. Like to the point that even his family considers him Benny. But yeah, no, very, very, very Irish. Just like nicknames with zero origin.
Last up, slippers, boots, or socks.
Love a slipper. Yeah. Love a slipper. Especially in lockdown.
Yeah, slippers all day.
Slippers is the least intimidating of the three, so I'm going to go with slippers.
Again, this is pure Irish. They're all from the same family. Slippers is a Grand National winning jockey, Niall Madden. He is the son of Boots, Niall Madden. And his little brother is Socks, David Madden. So
I love that. I love that so much. I love generational so names. Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh, shit. I'm now back in the host role. I've never ever ready because I'm just I get so encapsulated into it. Thank you very much, Kento, for
brilliant.
I appreciate the effort as always.
He's making me nostalgic for the old Paddy's New Yacht Show we used to do as well. There's an absolute fountain of sporting knowledge. Fantastic, and you're going to do amazing work with the mirror. So congratulations.
Yeah, good luck at the mirror. Just Dave in the chat says, did I ever tell you guys that I was nicknamed Carpet for 1 year in college? No, nothing happened.
That's so specific for 1 year. And like the clock ran out and then a new nickname.
Yeah. or just like David is like, enough of this! I am not a carpet! And I was like, never ever call him Carpet.
Well, that's something I can carry with me, some bit of knowledge. At Roscom Dan, I seen just the main event of the last UFC. Oh, I was mesmerized by it. I have rarely ever watched it, maybe one fight years ago, but I want to make an effort to get more into UFC. Where do I start? No McGregor, please. Right. So obviously, like, you've got kind of quite a busy job and a family and stuff like that, so time is kind of limited. So what I'd suggest, first and foremost, is like, because it's a sport and not like a TV show, even though obviously there's stories and characters technically, I would focus more so on the future and watching as many upcoming shows as possible, because then in a year's time it'll be like, oh, you know who everyone is, and you'll be like, oh, you know this moment and that moment, and like moments will happen over the coming year that'll be enough for you to enjoy. You don't necessarily need to go back and watch a whole load of shit to get what's going on, you know what I mean? It's like, you build on it as you go on. The Ultimate Fighter is great, like particularly the first season, if maybe, because you say you've barely watched any UFC, so I don't know how familiar you are with the rules or with like aspects of MMA, like weight cutting and things like that. So watching the first season of the Ultimate Fighter, that was designed for non-MMA fans to get into MMA, and it's credited as kind of saving the UFC and basically launching it into what it is today. It's also incredibly entertaining. It's fucking gas. The first season of the Ultimate Fighter, what I would say is, if you're gonna go back and watch stuff, the Fight Pass has everything. So it's like the UFC's equivalent of the WWE Network, but it's not great for watching like upcoming shows, but for like watching back, it's excellent. So you've got the entire there's a lot of, I wouldn't say watch every season of the Ultimate Fighter, because there's like nearly 30. I did it.
And there's a lot of dead seasons like as well, like
particularly as you go like later on, it's kind of, there's a lot of ones, particularly if you're not like the last kind of, if I remember, like the last like really entertaining one was like a McGregor one, so obviously you're not going to watch that. So
it is still worth a watch though, because it is fascinating, because you get behind Uriah Faber. So if you don't want to watch it, that's fair enough, but like it is a good season, because it, like, again, I watch McGregor in the thing of, look at this fucking arsehole. Will someone just put him fucking, you know what I mean? And like, it's almost a heel. Like, and I know that there's so many horrible things that I'd rather not see him, but like, it is good TV when you see someone go up against them because you just instantly really like the other person.
Do you know what? Josh, good for that. And you'll agree with me on this, the GSP Josh Koscheck season.
Oh, now, amazing.
I wouldn't say this is like must see again, because I'm well aware, like, you're probably on limited time. So I don't want to say like, oh, this season was great. There is loads of good seasons. Like, you can like go back and look at like, but the GSP Josh Koscheck one's great because it's like you get to see like Josh Koscheck try and get under GSP's skin, and GSP just doesn't allow it. You know what I mean?
He's such a king.
He just fires him in the actual fight. Like,
no. Do you know what he did in the fight? Should we say this part? But the way he fought the fight was the most insulting way that he could have fought it, and it's just the perfect way for that to end. Like, where he just humiliated him, but did it so effortlessly and insultingly that it was Bisping is also a great one. If he's on it, it's going to be an entertaining season. Chael Sonnen, Wanderlei Silva is a great season. The women's season is actually, because that was an important, that made the women's division in UFC. So basically they announced the women's division and Ronda Rousey came in as champion, and this is how they built up the characters that are in the division, and a lot of the people there are still bedrock characters within the women. But like, it was like, consider that I walked into like MMA, and I'll be straight up, it wasn't necessarily a sexist attitude, but it was a biased attitude where I'm like, I don't know if I want to see women compete in MMA. And then I'm just like, I watched that season and I'm like, these are all fucking heroes. I remember being emotional because the fight that they had in, I think it was the finals, was so good. And I'm like, holy fuck, guys, you did it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you fucking showed the world here. Like, this is amazing. And they were beating the piss into each other. They were bloody and everything. And it was like, it's the exact thing that at the start of the series I would have said, I don't want to see this, but now I've got to know them and I've got invested and they've just won me over and they've won the entire audience over. So that's a really effective season as well, if that sounds like something you'd be interested in.
There was two women's seasons. One of them, I don't know if it's the first one or the second one, has Shayna Baszler in it as well.
That's, and Jasmine Duke.
Yeah, so that's the side up there in it. You raise a good point about the later seasons, even though some of them aren't as good. A lot of people in them are still around today, so there is that as well. Also, the coaches that are pitted against each other are like names that are good to know in terms of history. But what I would say about history again, because like, I went back and watched every like UFC essentially, like I because it was actually a year ago now. That's crazy to think about it. But it was the start of lockdown. I decided there was no new wrestling really. There was no new anything happening because the whole world just shut down. So I was like, right, well, I'll never get this chance again. I'm gonna go back and watch all the main UFC stuff. So I've got a good knowledge of history. But before I did that, what I used to do, and this is something I very much recommend if you're trying to get into the history of the UFC but you don't have any time, MMA YouTubers are excellent for this shit. MMA On Point is kind of like the, you know, like What Culture Wrestling or Cultaholic, where it'd be like, you know, top 10, you know, and then it'd be something historical, you know, top 10 like unexpected victories in MMA, we'll say. It'll be a channel that does stuff like that. And because MMA doesn't, like, this is the thing, MMA isn't like football or even like wrestling. Like, it's the history of MMA is so like short compared to like any other sport. It's a really, really young sport. It only goes back to really like early 90s, I think. So like, if you watch enough like MMA On Point or whatever, like you'll get a pretty up-to-date run on like who the big stars are and the things you kind of need to know. And honestly, again, this is why I say focus more on future shows and what's happening, you know, up ahead, because then what happens is you see the card in advance and you go, right, who's this lad, who's that lad, and then maybe you can search on YouTube like who they are and what they've done. It's mad because like I'm big into it, but it took me a while to get big into it because there's so many fighters, you know what I mean? Like, there's like 500 fighters. You don't need to know all of them.
Just invest, because they're not on every show, like say with wrestling. Like you'll like a fighter, but then you'll be waiting 6 months for their next fight and have forgotten that you liked them by the time they come back in. Like, so yeah, that's a fair point. Do you know what's a really good thing actually for this, right? If it's a catch-all thing that you just want to get caught up in like a couple hours, UFC did a documentary. And Keen, I don't know if you might have watched this actually. If you haven't, it's well worth going out your way, even though you'd know a lot of it by now. They did a documentary coming up to UFC 200, and it was basically just the history of MMA, and it's like a 2-hour documentary. It's brilliant because it just tells you about everything. Now it is, the UFC made it, so it's UFC slanted, where it's like the odds were against us and they didn't want us to, the government wanted to shut us down and this and that. But like, you know, it's good in the same way a WWE documentary is good, even though they're giving a WWE slant. It does actually just tell you the story and it gets you to know all the main fighters and the main touch points in the run up to the first 200 UFCs. Also, another good documentary to watch would be the 30 for 30, Tito versus Chuck is really good. And that's really old school. Ken Shamrock came from UFC as well. Like that's where he started out. Tank Abbott as well. So a lot of old school wrestlers are from there too. So yeah, no, there's some good stuff out there.
Reading through the chat, Dave Cullen says, watch up on the old fights as well. Even some fights from other promotions like Pride. Yeah, but again, I am like, again, I'm always conscious of time. Like for me, Pride is kind of like, it's like if you're in a safe, like a wrestling fan, if a wrestling fan will say to you, right, or sorry, a non-wrestling fan was to say to you, hey, I want to get into wrestling, where should I start? And you just say New Japan. You like, you know what I mean? You throw them into the heavy kind of hardcore. Yeah. I've actually, would you believe I've never actually watched Pride in my life? And I'm big, big, big into MMA, and I've actually never watched Pride. And I know I'd love it. I do, like, I'm aware.
So you haven't seen much of Fedor in his heyday, like?
No,
I've seen fuck off Fedor. Fedor's great.
Yeah. That's why, like, it is interesting, obviously, for historical discussions, it's good to, like, be aware of this sort of stuff. But, again, like, it's kind of, I would prioritize, because the thing is, what happens is, and this is the reason I didn't get into MMA for a while, so I was so caught up in, like, getting to know the history of it, that, like, the fact, like, it was, like UFC happens, it's not happening this Sunday on Easter, but this is, like, the first time they've had a break in ages. Like, at this stage, it's almost, like, a weekly thing now. Every single Saturday night, and then, well, for me, like, it'd be Sunday watching it, they have a new, you know, they have a new show out, so I'd be so busy getting caught up on the history that I'd miss, you know what I mean, what's actually happening. And then it yeah. kind of, so I think it's better to just throw yourself straight in and just kind of, you know what's great as well for discussing things? This is what I use as well. Reddit, there's a subreddit for MMA. There's one for UFC specifically, I wouldn't bother using that one, but the one for MMA is great because you might not know what the fuck they're talking about one day, but then like you just keep using just a couple of minutes a day, then like after about a month you start to like get to know everyone, you know what I mean, over time. And I'd say that about everything. I'd say that about like football as well, do you know what I mean? Reddit can be quite good for like catching the main stories, reading what people have to say about the main stories, and it's usually like kind of the real like passionate fans, you know what I mean? On Twitter, like people can be a bit more reactive and stuff, and like, oh, Miocic is shite, you got knocked out, you know, that kind of type. whereas you find the most passionate fans, you'll get fans who will give you a more kind of in-depth sort of like fans like Katie, you know what I mean? People will give you a more kind of like detailed, balanced sort of view on things.
Ironically, I am all over Reddit now since I stopped using Twitter for that exact reason. My fandoms are much better on Reddit.
Yeah. It is, yeah. You get much better discussion and actual insight. Like Twitter, you just get like a taste of what everyone's angry about these days. Twitter has mutated into something different. But no, another good way, if you want to keep it simple for the start, I totally agree with what Keane is saying. Maybe you could check out a few of those things just to kind of get a frame of reference, but like definitely follow it forward, not backwards. You know what I mean? It's not a TV series where you have to binge it. You can just, if you have an idea of what happened, you'll get into it more. A good way of doing it is just following the UFC on YouTube. They release everything you need to know about upcoming shows. Watch the countdown show on like the Saturday or Sunday before a big fight. Follow the numbered pay-per-views first, so follow UFC 261 as the next one. You don't need to worry about the fight nights and stuff in the middle. If you have time, watch it by all means, but like you're more likely to be left out in the cold because like I've followed it years and there's a lot of fighters that I don't know on these cards, the lower ones, because it's stretched out with there being so many cards. So follow the big fights and the big pay-per-views first until you get more into people, because you will learn about the undercard fighters through being on the first or second fight in the bigger pay-per-views, and then they'll be in the main event of a smaller fight night show. But you can watch the countdown show and that'll give you all the storylines you need to know to be invested. Watch the embedded things that you can follow throughout the day to get an idea for where the fighter is now and what their headspace is, and it kind of gives you an insight into the world of UFC and let you feel like you're there as a fan. And also as well, UFC will release free fights that are relevant towards the next fight, so that can be your history section of it, where you're watching it but it's paying forward to the fight that you're watching, because it's actually telling you the story of these two fighters and making you invest in this fight that's coming up. And do that enough over time and you're going to have a fairly complete knowledge of it because you'll get into it. Keena, I have to check your pick your brain though on what do you think of the Ngannou Jones situation?
Dana White is like, again, I don't know what the details are with numbers, but it's kind of like the thing is like, I'll never blame a fighter for ripping into Dana White and saying I'm not fighting for the money that you give me, because I think Dana White pays his fighters like absolute shit. So I don't really blame John Jones for wanting whatever he wants. I think the fight itself would make a shit ton of money. Like outside of Conor, this is like one of the biggest fights ever. Jones and Ngannou. Oh my god! I really hope this fight happens. I think Ngannou kills him. In terms of the fight itself, I think Ngannou kills him. I don't know if John Jones is a I don't know if he's scared. If that's what you're asking me.
No, he's not scared. This is bollocks. Do you know what I think? I think this is a promotional tactic by Dana. I think it's like the how do you make us want this fight more? Because it's the perfect fight. It's the biggest fight that they can have that doesn't have McGregor in it. It's the biggest fight at the moment that they can have. And how do you make us want this and care about this? You tell us, we're probably not going to have it. And they were all like, no, give it to me. Give it to me. I'll give you all of my money now. It's definitely happening. They will figure it out. They will get there. As long as Jones doesn't overreact or go too far or like fucking quit the company, which is like there. I think he is legitimately pissing off Jones here. Like you see him on Twitter every day going crazy. Literally I was reading his tweets before we went on and he was tweeting live. And it's like, holy shit, he's calling out his boss very publicly here. But I think it's going to happen. And I think in Dana's part, I think he's just, yeah, I'm going to make them want it a bit more. As well as being a scab. He is a scab and a negotiator, but he always gets it done at the end. So I've no doubt that this fight's going ahead. I don't know if I go for Ngannou, but we can have that debate when the fight gets actually formally announced.
I can't fucking wait. Oh my God. There you go. That's the fight you want to see. But yeah, so to summarize, pay it. Well, you know, watch upcoming shows, YouTube, Reddit, bit of The Ultimate Fighter, maybe if you have time. And yeah, all the and yeah, just tweet me if you ever want an MMA fucking rant or something. I don't know. I'm big into it now.
He loves talking about UFC. Yeah. No, that's a great show.
Thanks for the question, Dan. At Dave Bandana, I laughed so hard last week from Keane's reaction to Alan Brown's goal. Shane McMahon playing possum. It was Shane McMahon playing possum. I was very enthusiastic. So what I'd like to know is, what was your biggest reaction you've ever had for a sports moment outside of wrestling?
Katie, we haven't heard from you in a while.
I have two answers.
Mm-hmm.
Answer number one is watching City versus QPR with Phil when Aguero sunk that last goal.
It's my least favourite one.
Not to say that, like.
And just because we've been watching obviously so much Aguero this week with him leaving City, it would just remind me of it. But the other one is more personal, and it's when Katie Taylor was in the Olympics, and because I'm from Bray and I went to the same school as her.
Yeah.
What they did is the field beside our old school, they put up like a big drive-through screen, and basically it was all free and anyone from the town could just come and watch the big fight on the big screen. And it was just deadly. You know what I mean? It was literally, I think there was like 10,000 people in the field watching this girl who kind of grown up in Bray, and like most of us like knew her from school, knew her from playing football, whatever. And it was just like a proper like proud to be Irish moment, you know what I mean? And then when she got announced as the winner, the whole place just went apeshit, like they absolutely lost it. So yeah, that's probably the best one I've ever been involved
Katie,
in.
Did you see the video? I know you're not into like MMA, but you if you'd seen it, you'd love it. It was Francis Ngannou's where he's from in Cameroon, their reaction to him knocking out Miocic and then becoming like the first Cameroon like heavyweight champion. And it's actually what you're talking about really reminds you, but you see them all like they're all, you can't see the screen, but you can see the fans and you can see them all like oh, and like the knockout as well. At one point, like when he's knocking out Miocic like hits him as well. So it's kind of like this almost like half second of uncertainty. And then when he like proper gets him, it's like, oh, and they're all running around like, yeah. And just a full on like like elation, you know what I mean? Just the happiness, the release is just
that's it. Like, that sounds exactly what it felt like then. And I'd love, I'd actually must look and see, is there any videos from that day? Like, because I'd love to just see like the swell in the crowd, like,
she got
named the winner. So, like, yeah, that was deadly to be a part of.
Love it. For me, a few moments came to mind, and not necessarily the moments I'd expect. Robbie Brady, Adam Turner says in the chat, that's a very good show. For me, I expected that to happen, though, because Italy Field is such a weakened team. So while it was great, it might make top 20, but it's not top 10 or top 5 for me. Man United win the Champions League with the 2 late goals. That was the first moment where I've literally jumped around the room, ran, grabbed everyone that was near me, hugged them like I was just like a frenzy. It was, and I was only like 12 at this stage, but it was like sport. It was like a realization moment where sport can take you to another level. Like, it was just brilliant. Another one that comes to mind, the Eagles win the Super Bowl. A couple of people in the chat will have been there. Unfortunately, Jimmy is a Patriots supporter and he had to be on the opposite end of that, because we beat the Patriots in the final. The Eagles win the Super Bowl is one of my favorite sport moments ever. In McGowan's watching it, a lot of people just there for the late points just gathered around me as the Eagles fan because they could see the jersey and how invested I was. So it's literally my perfect sporting moment. Like, a team that I follow that I never thought would win the Super Bowl, and I definitely didn't think it at the start of that season. No one did. And then they win it, beat Tom Brady, the best to ever play the game, and did it in the most dramatic fashion in the last minute. And then there's a bunch of people surrounding me, and when I react, I literally, there was like a ball where like Tom Brady threw up a last minute Hail Mary, and it's coming down, and it could literally, it just matters. Like, it's a 50-50 chance. It could land in their hands or it can land in our hands. And if it's their hands, we lose. If it's our hands, we win. I couldn't look. And I turn around. I'm with Benny there. I turn around and I'm like, Benny, did we win? Tell me if we won. He goes, you won, bud. And then I go, yeah. And then everyone sees me reacting. They all go, yeah. And then dive on me. It was like, oh, man, this is amazing. Another one, Stephen Cluxton, now this is mad because I actually don't support, not that I don't support the Dubs, but I'd like another team to win. But when they hadn't won the All-Ireland for years, and then Stephen Cluxton's last minute like kick, the long free that won it in the last minute over Kerry, that was a big one for me. I was watching in a friend's house. We just absolutely went ballistic. And then what's an Irish one? It was when we won the Six Nations, the last minute kick. Was it Sexton or O'Gara hit it? Kent will know if he's still there. The last minute kick where we won the Six Nations, we won the Grand Slam. So that was another big one for me. There, man.
Yeah, international football is definitely the one that gets me. Don't get me wrong, like, I do care about club football, and like, but even like watching United score like a last minute winner against PSG this year in the Champions League, I was like, yeah, but like, it wasn't like, you know, running around the house, like, you know, screaming or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, there's like two Irish goals against Germany that stick with me. One that people don't really remember that well, like, well, they remember it, but they don't really talk about it that much. John O'Shea's equaliser against them in qualifying, but the one in the same qualifying campaign that had me going fucking crazy. Ah, oh, you know it, like, Randolph, Shay Long, oh, man. That whole day was so perfect. Pringles were €1 in centre that day, and I got off school early. It was the fucking best, like, actually, that whole day, like, everything about that day fell into place, and that, like, was, like, I remember, like, watching the match was, like, the final part of my day, and at this stage, like, Ireland had parked the bus quite well, and Germany were, like, they weren't scoring, they weren't getting in. I was, like, oh, my God, we could get a draw here. Oh, my God, that's unreal. That's, like, proper, like, made my day, you know what I mean? And then, like, Shay logs through, and, oh, and it's going in, and, like, just, and it's not even that, like, that you, like, first of all, the fact that you got the opportunity was unbelievable, but then, like, he runs onto it, and the finish, like, just rivals into the top corner. It's the ball, like, killed his family or something, just fucking smashed it, and straight past Neuer as well, and just a sea of green. That's always something that'll get me, like, the sea of green supporters, you know what I mean, in the stadium going crazy. Oh, I can't wait for those fans to be back, you know what I mean? Like, I think actually it is a game changer. Like, but anyway, another one is, as mentioned earlier, the Robbie Brady goal. I lost my shit for that. I don't care how, like, weak the Italian team is. I don't care. It didn't even matter who the opposition was. It could have been like San Marino. It's like the fact that it was a win to get through to the knockout stages of a major tournament. And like, I remember before it, like, Houlihan like fucked a chance like a few minutes before that, and it was like, oh bollocks, like,
that was it, that was the
yeah,
chance.
Yeah, we're like, oh, we yeah. fucked it, we've absolutely fucked it. And then like a minute later, Hoolahan whips it in, Robbie Brady. Shit.
You can still hear the commentary, like Aguero.
Yeah.
The commentary in your head. Yeah.
And I was talking about this like the other day with someone, like international commentary is way better than like club football's commentary, because in club football they're like, you know, like they're diplomatic and they're a bunch of Katie Harveys. They're, you know, they're you know, being like, they're being reasonable. They can't be like too biased or too like, you know, boo this team or cheer this team, whatever. But when you know, George Hamilton or whoever is doing the commentary for Ireland, you know, it'll turn around like, well, you know, fuck it, Tara.
George Hamilton is one of the best, because like he even ribs the English. One of George Hamilton's best calls for me is not when, it's not actually an Ireland call, it's when England got knocked out of Euros to Iceland, and like he just turns around and he's like, you boys took a hell of a beating. And it's just a piss take. It's an old, it's a throwback to an old famous commentary clip, but he just rips into people or just like is biased, and you're with him though, you're just like, yeah, yeah, we want that.
Yeah, it's the Irish national broadcaster, he should be unashamed. Shamedly, you know what I mean? Like, well, I was gonna say the Iceland one, actually, just speaking of commentary before I lose my train of thought. Do you ever see the Iceland commentator's reaction to Iceland beating England? It's fucking, oh my god, like,
because
for perspective, like Iceland, I know they had like Eric Johnson and stuff, but like they're basically Luxembourg, you know what I mean? Prior to all this, like, it's not like, like, it's a country of 600,000. So, a very small country, not really a heavy footballing nation, and they fucking are. And a commentator loses his voice, like, oh man, I love that whole tournament. Was deadly.
Dave had an amazing one in the chat that is actually one of mine. Jason McAteer scoring against Holland. What made that funny is because my little sister was born the day before that and came back. No, she was born a couple of days before that. It was the 1st of September 2001. I remember the exact day. And she came back to the home that day and she's finally asleep. And me and my dad are there. And we literally had to do the most insane silent celebration ever. Like, yeah, 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 God, yeah. It was hilarious. It was iconic because of that. I'll never forget that moment, except for now when I forgot it. Sorry.
I would never be able to. Actually, I was watching that goal. I was watching that like a few weeks ago. I had it on like Ireland Sporting Classic, something that was on RTE, and it's just so cool. I just like just internet, because the thing about internationals is because it's so like spread out as well. Like that last match we saw there yesterday is like the last Ireland match till, well, okay, there's friendlies in June, but like competitive games like September, you know what I mean? So it's like there's such big gaps that when they come around, that's why you get so invested, because it's like, right, we only have like one match to really prove what we've got here. James McLean's goal against Wales, that's a fucking, that had me going mad. That was a mad one. Also, this McGoldrick against Switzerland, that was a fucking gas one. That was a, I was watching that in the sitting room. I normally watch like international football on my own for this exact reason. I get really, really into it.
We heard it all last week.
Yeah. And if it goes wrong, I'm like, just don't fucking talk to me type of way. So I was sitting there in the sitting room with Toby, and he's just lying there, and he's actually asleep. He doesn't give a fuck about the match. I think he might be from like, I don't know, Andorra or one of those countries that doesn't really have any like international football pedigree, and that's why he doesn't care. But I was watching, I was like, oh, come on. And like when it happened, I thought it was fucked. And once we went 1-0 down, I was like, right, we're fucked. But then McLean whips it in, McGoldrick heads it in, and immediately because I was bigging up McGoldrick to everyone in the chat, in like a group chat before that, and they're all like, yeah, McGoldrick, he's shite, whatever. I was like, no, he's not, he's deadly. He's gonna score tonight. And when he fucking did it, I was like, yeah. And I ran down the hall, ran back in. I was like, yeah. Like fucking, and Toby freaked out. He's like, what is wrong with you? Please tell me what's happening. He didn't know if I was happy or sad or freaked out or what. But yeah, international football probably be my most passionate moments.
love it.
Thank you for the question, Dave. Declan at Terry versus Martina. My question comes from watching a Jack Charlton documentary. Which Irish team, in your opinion, was the best Irish football team? Jack Charlton's team in 94 or Mick McCarthy's team in 02? I strongly believe Ireland would have won the World Cup in 2002 if Roy Keane did not walk out on the team. Katie, what is your opinion on this?
I recently found out that Roy Keane broke someone's legs and ended their career in a football match.
He didn't end his career. I think that Alan played the next Wednesday. You're getting the Man City remix of that, where Roy Keane is the scumbag who ended his career. Alfinger Haaland deliberately injured Roy Keane a year beforehand. Reich, and then he stood over him and told him to stop being a pussy. I think Haaland was one of the most, even his teammates didn't like him. He was a captain of City, so City fans will like him, but his teammates hated him because he was socially awkward. He was disliked by everyone in football. And like, he was just like a big weirdo, like a big intense weirdo who just couldn't connect with anyone. He's actually like the father of probably one of the best footballers on the planet today, in Erling Haaland.
Oh, yeah. I was like, that matter, he has the same surname. I didn't even
Yeah, he is. He's his dad. But he did Roy Keane's cruciate the year before and took him out. And then Keane said he never forgot. Now, Keane was a psychopath here. He said he never forgot Alfinger Haaland standing over him and going, he's faking it, don't be such a bitch. And then his cruciate was done in, one of the most serious injuries you can get. Can be a career ender for some people. So Keane ended up getting him back, and he was a psychopath and way out of line. But the story goes that Alfinger Haaland's career was over. Like, that's what's told today. What people forget is he played the next game. Like, he got up, he was taken off, and then he played the next game. He was just a shite footballer. He just happened to captain City, but City were shite in those days. So, like, that's not that big of an achievement. But that's the City remix where Keane ended his career. No, he didn't. He played the next week.
Ended everyone's careers. He broke people up every week. That's why he was dead, he like.
that's gas. That I've heard two different versions of that story about this week.
The Athletic, I know this really well because The Athletic did a story on this a few weeks ago, so it's fresh in my mind from reading it. And there was a lot of things where it's like, this is what people say happened and this is what actually happened. And it's like, holy shit, yeah, he played the next game. What the fuck? He just whines about it to this day. Like, he still holds a massive grudge against Keane and holds him responsible for his football career not turning out the way it was. But he was a City captain when City were like, you know, I think they were relegated shortly afterwards. Like, so he wasn't a great footballer as it was.
Gas. That was such a tangent as well. It's nothing to do with this question. It was just a relevant piece of Roy Keane information I found out recently. I say be a fan of Roy Keane, you know, in terms of me being a fan of football in general. But what year is the van set in? And I'll just pick that year. Is that 2004? Oh shit, that was Italian 90, was it?
Yeah.
That's not one of Declan's options. Okay, I'll say 90.
No, it's a fair, that's a really solid option. That's the year we had our best World Cup performance. So if you're looking statistically, that is the best Irish team.
Yeah, I'm all about statistics. I'll pick
but
that.
It's either 94 or 02 though, in this, out of these two, I mean.
Right, 94 is closer to 90, so I'll pick that.
Fair enough.
See, 94 is all about Ray Houghton and the goal. We were actually a pretty bad World Cup team. Whereas, yeah, in 2002, we went out in our swords. Like, we took it to every team. We beat Germany. We drew with Cameroon. And we beat Saudi Arabia convincingly. Like, yeah, we were a great team then. And even with Spain, we probably should have beaten them. And that was a team that a few years later went on to become dominant in world football, and we took it to them. So 2002 was unequivocally better than 1994. It's just Ray Houghton in Giant Stadium has gone down as a more iconic moment. But what people forget in 94 is that we were shocking in some of those games. Like, we drew 0-0 with Norway. Mexico comfortably beat us. We didn't win a game in 94 after beating Italy. That was the high point, 20 minutes into the first game. And it was towards the end of Jack Charlton's era, so it's definitely 2002 of those two. But 1990 is kind of the factor there. Like, Jack Charlton's managerial career was better than Mick McCarthy when it comes to Ireland, but that team was probably the stronger team of the two.
02, like, even on paper, is fucking insane. I think, like, the 94. Yeah, I think, like, the night in 94, like, the team, like, I'm no, like, historical kind of, like, my knowledge when it comes to football history is actually, like, surprisingly limited, believe it or not. I feel like the 94 team got as far as it could go, whereas 02 was kind of like, it didn't reach its full potential, if you get what I'm saying. I don't know if they would have won the World Cup. It's, you know, there was a Brazil team there. There was other top teams around.
Korea got to the semi-finals in that World Cup. We could have got to the semis. We easily. If the ball had bounced different ways at different times, we could have got to the semi-finals. Like, it's just Like when South Korea got there, we had a better team than South Korea. Now they were the host nation and they had one of those inspired host runs. So I don't know if we'd have beaten them if it had been a direct match, but we'd a better team than them easily. So if it happened for them, it easily could have happened for us. We just got unlucky and lost on penalties. Like, what can you do?
I'm going to go with 0-2 and I'm going to say they need to host every World Cup in Dublin. Do you know what I mean? Just like, based off what you told me, just get the Tallaght Stadium out, get the fucking Aviva, even Croke Park, everywhere, and let it happen. That's what I think. But yeah, anyway,
we mightn't even be getting our Euros games after all that now.
Yeah.
Looks things.
We won't be there anyway. Fuck yeah, it. Not even just the fans, but the team. Well, like,
I can look out. I can see the screen of it out my kitchen window.
Well, thanks for the question, Declan. Tom at pop underscore oh, pop, yeah. Hi, Tom. I'm sorry,
Tom.
With hashtag Godzilla versus Kong in mind, which two fictional characters would you like to meet each other? Personally, I'd like John Wick to meet Cruella and see how it goes.
Like, when you say meet, do you mean it in the way Katie and me would have grown up seeing saying me? Will you meet Cruella, will you? I'm guessing you don't. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Are they fighting?
No, I think it just means just meeting, like, social just, dynamic. Like,
okay.
Just meeting, yeah.
So I would like Sonic the Hedgehog to meet Asha and the Pokemon. I just think that would be a really cute dynamic. Big Sonic the Hedgehog fan, and the last movie was deadly. Or like the Detective Pikachu, Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog. That'd be class.
That'd be better. Yeah, like, I feel like you haven't watched Pokemon. Like, we have a Pokemon expert. He presents a Pokemon team show on the Loblaws Network. I think you still do, Jonathan. I think it's just on hiatus. But like, Ash is an irritant. You're subjecting people to Ash.
Oh, no, so yeah, I've only ever seen like the original series, the original 150 Pokemon. I never watched or played beyond that.
He's an irritant. Like, even going back watching it, like with the Jellyfield Donut podcast, it's like, oh my God, how did I ever like Ash? He's like watching Ross in the 21st century and you're like, incel.
To be fair, I was a Brock fan growing up, so.
Brock is cool. Brock is a player. Brock is off getting his hole every few minutes. Like, he's an absolute dude. I'd like Brock, actually, if we're going to go this way, because I haven't thought of an answer. I'd like Brock to meet McLovin out of Superbad. I think that'd be a really funny encounter. And they just share sexual exploits, except McLovin is just making his up. And Brock is just like really coy about his. Brock is like there are episodes in Pokemon. Go back and watch it. There are episodes in Pokemon where Brock like is just like, guys, I'm gonna go over here for a while, and then at the end of the episode, he just walks back with Nurse Joy, and you're like, it's nuts, like it's mad. But it's like the only thing that could have happened was they were off having sex, like. It's mad. Corporate Key, do fix no characters you'd like.
Eugene from The Walking Dead, and Pete from Green Street. There you go.
Oh my God, I love Green Street. Yes, it's one of my favorite films.
I won't elaborate. Thank you for the question, Tom.
I think that speaks for itself.
Adam at Clueless Nerd, if you could change any match type for the better, how would you do it? I'd change it so that whichever... Oh, I love the suggestion, actually. I read this earlier. I'd change it so that whichever brand wins the Survivor Series elimination match gets to close out WrestleMania, or so that the members of the winning team get a title shot at a title relative to their position on the card. So Daniel Bryan, Universal, Street Profits, Tag Team, Apollo Crews, and King Corbin, Intercontinental. This is a very interesting one. Do any of you have an answer?
I'll tell you what I'm definitely not doing is Googling professional wrestling match types right now.
That's okay. I have an answer. Katie, do you have one?
Yeah, I you know, hate last man standing matches because I don't find them that exciting. So I was trying to think of ways to improve the rules, and I came up with either, number one, counting extremely fast. So it's just a bit more of a scramble, there's a bit more of excitement. Or instead of having 10 seconds to stand up, having 10 seconds to get back into the ring. So like the count doesn't happen if both of them are outside the ring, but then one of them slides back in. Oh, that's just how regular 10 counts work.
That, yeah, that's a count out, yeah.
That's so, oh my God, a singles match.
There's no hardcore stipulations. They're very much like within the normal rules. Jeez.
Oh my, the guys were like, can you say that? I was like, oh man, that's actually good. Yeah.
It's just really like tip the can with weapons. That's all it is. Like.
Here's one way you could change the last man standing match. It's like numbers appear on the screen and then one of the numbers will be 10. And if you happen to be lying down while the number 10, they're just at random. So it's like 99, 7, 4, 2, 10. And it's, I lost.
It's like reverse bingo.
Yeah, it's pure randomness. Pure randomness.
Or like somebody gets hit with like a clothesline and they're down for like a second. It's like 10. What?
Well, I guess that was WrestleMania, guys.
That's actually a fucking... I'd well prepare that, to be honest. Like,
if Courage was still here, we absolutely would have ran that match. Like, that would have happened. And it would have ended with 10 being like the first number. Like, it absolutely would have.
One that we wouldn't have done in Courage, probably because of like the logistics of it, but one that I want to see is like, it's basically like a Royal Rumble, but with a cage. So like a cage Royal Rumble. So they have to drag them all the way up to the top of the cage and throw them off the cage rather than just over. So they don't get any like fluky over the top rope eliminations. It's like you earn their elimination. You know what I mean? You take them all the way to the top of the cage and over the top. Do you know what I mean? More none of this fluky elimination bullshit. More kind of solid eliminations. People have earned it. No more questions asked. You know, kind of way.
Yeah, I like it.
So has everyone got their match, their gimmicks out of the way?
Yeah, I'm good.
Great question, Adam. Thanks. At @Owen_Davis1, after the long-awaited return of the animated match graphics, what would your animation be? I have an answer for this one as well. So I actually think about this quite a lot because I always, like, the wrestlers always look so, like, ready. You know what I mean? They're always like, oh, yeah, I've been waiting for this moment. You know what I mean? You! And, you know, they're flexing, they're doing whatever. Mine would be awkward as shit. Mine would be 100%, like, you know the nod, like, when you see someone you kind of know, like, like on the road or whatever, when you're walking down, you give them that little nod, kind of like, all right, but like not like a full on, not a full on hello or like a conversation, but just sort of like a acknowledging their existence, you know, like a.
Yeah.
So that would be mine. Just I walk onto the screen, I'm just sort of like, and then it just freezes, and then I'm just standing there, not like just hands by my side, no like no sort of come on or you know what I mean, just sort of.
I'd love a meta one where it's like it's not supposed to be happening. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm going for a piss and then you just see my back and I turn around. And I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here.
That should be gas,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
I think I did get to do one of these before. We definitely filmed them before. And I don't think they turned out that well because I think in mine I turned around like fists up thinking I looked real cool. But I actually just looked like a cartoon pirate getting ready to
voyage.
throw fisticuffs with someone, you know what I mean? Like it turned out a bit Popeye. So so I don't think I could make it look cool, to be honest.
I really want to see that now.
Yeah, imagine. We need to find this, please. Someone, if you've any information, send it in.
Thank you for the question, Owen. Laura at It's Laura B83. Best and worst moment of WrestleMania for each of you. In fairness, right? I saw Rick. No. I saw Rick tearing into this on Twitter. I disagree. I think best and worst. It is. It's asking for two different things. It's a loophole. Laura,
it's
as
not a loophole.
It's the one question.
Wanker. I'm no, sorry, it's not one... against you, Laura. It's not. It's against the integrity of the question rule.
I get the argument for both sides, but I do feel like this is a loophole. I feel like it is fitted into the one question.
Do that with anything. You can go name 7 different things you like and dislike and feel neutral about, and then, like, where's the line?
That's the thing. She has exposed the system now.
No, the system is if it's one answer we have to think of, then that's it. Because like sometimes you don't even think.
Okay,
of one.
I think we'll give Laura a pass on this one because it's established.
The loophole is closed. It's a warning. It's a warning to fucking honest.
But I will answer this because I did think about it. I did sort of have a look and see is there any sort of best and worst. Best is easily Undertaker beating Brock. I keep saying Undertaker beating Brock Lesnar. That wouldn't really be that impressive. I probably wouldn't even remember the match if that's what happened. Brock Lesnar beating Undertaker WrestleMania, because it's my go-to now. I reference it forever in life, not even just in wrestling. It's like whenever something like that, like whenever anything happens where, like, say Ireland or like San Marino versus like Portugal tomorrow, we'll say, and everybody's like, oh, like San Marino are going to lose. I'll turn around and I will say, yeah, but The Undertaker lost at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, every single thing, like, there's no chance of that happening. Undertaker lost at WrestleMania. It's like, even in wrestling, it's like, it's added the what if to absolutely every, even like Omega versus Rich Swann, yeah? That's a match that's happening soon where everybody's like, right, Omega's going to win, for example. But I always say, well, what if, because of shit, like, because of The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, I'm like, anything can happen at all. Like, it completely changed my perspective of everything. And for that, I'd say that's, and just the moment, I can watch it back over and over again. It's, I've never seen that level of shock expressed by that many people at any one given time ever. So it's just iconic. So that'd be my best. Worst is like anything from WrestleMania 32. Like, I remember, like, the second one I stayed up to watch since getting back into wrestling. And I remember loads of people at the time weren't looking forward to it. And I was saying, lads, WrestleMania 32 is going to blow you away. This is going to be, look, this card looks shit on paper. They would not set it up to be this shit. Like, this, like, Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose, that street fight will deliver. That's going to be like a death match that we're not used to seeing in WWE. Triple H and Reigns, you're going to be invested in that. When that match actually happens, there's a reason they're doing Triple H and Reigns, right? They're not going to do what you think. This is going to be good. They're not going to let you down. You know what I mean? And they made an absolute show me. It's like, it was as bad as what?
Eric Rowan was in the co-main event against The Rock.
Not every moment from WrestleMania 32. Obviously, that was a banger. But
I would have thought that'd be your favorite WrestleMania just for that alone.
Oh, but the rest, it was so bad. I get you. And like, there were things I liked, obviously, like, because it started off well. Remember Zack Ryder won the ladder match and everyone's I remember being like, oh, that's just the start. With the exception of Eric Rowan in the co-main event, it was essentially just it. Like, and McMahon, I mean, he did the dive off the cell and Triple Threat was all right, but like, the Lesnar Ambrose, like, that was such a letdown. And the main event, it was so, I just it was embarrassing just because of how hard I batted for it, like, in advance. You know what I mean? I remember saying at the takeover, everybody, I think it might have been the takeover Nakamura debuted on. I could be right or wrong, or
yes,
anyway,
think you're right.
And everyone was like, oh, the Nakamura match is going to be the best match of the weekend. And I'm like, no, it won't. I remember being like, no, it won't. This WrestleMania show is going to eclipse all the TakeOver, just so you watch. And I've never been so dead wrong about anything in my life. Like, the most embarrassing mishit ever. Like, swung full power into that and missed 100%. Like, it was awful. So I hate that WrestleMania. I hate the main event, and I hate Ambrose and Lesnar.
You've just taken me back to that WrestleMania and the roller coaster of emotions, because I remember I didn't get to watch that takeover live because I had family stuff on that weekend, and I had to watch the next day. And that was the whole thing was such an emotional roller coaster, because then there was Nakamura Zayn, and I watched it, and then I remember Don Marnell got in touch and announced that he'd secured a video from Becky Lynch that we could air in the wool shed that night. And I was just like, oh my God, that's amazing. And like, everything, the party side of it was coming together. The party of it was actually really good in wool shed. But then I remember the end of the night, because the WrestleMania was so bad, was me, Scott and Jay just left outside the wool shed, just numb. Just like standing there cold and in silence going, I want to go home. that was so long, and I'm so exhausted, and I'm so let down. it was just like a real roller coaster. And the sad part was the wrestling, the thing we're supposed to be there for, was the part that made us feel that way. So that's a very good show. Best moment for me, probably Austin against Rock. It's always going to be that. And worst moment is always going to be Triple H against Booker T. I've gone in depth on both. There's no need to go any further.
Jonathan's got my one in the chat for worst moment, Vince versus Brett, which I've talked about at length on the show as well. Also, want to throw in the Divas Battle Royal from WrestleMania 25, where they didn't introduce the women. They just came out as dancers for Kid Rock. And then Santino won in drag.
that's a really good show.
Yeah, that was not pleasant. Favorite moments, Daniel Bryan probably winning the title, beating Triple H, going into the triple threat, Kofi winning as well, big moments like that. Becky's entrance for the main event, you know what I mean, just being in the wall in Buskers and just like the absolute buzz.
you can literally go on like all like for a year, like the amount of like best mate, like when I was trying to do like my fucking sort of like coming up with an answer for this, like I was going through the manias that I watched, and even like I've only really like watched, you know, maybe like half the manias, maybe no, a bit more than that, but like even in that though, it's like there's so many moments, you know what I mean, and it's just like you can answer it forever. Like
Do you know when we kind of like rip into WWE though on the main show? Like this week hasn't been a WWE friendly week. We have ripped into it, and Keane's like, "This is why I'm Team AEW," and so on. This is why I can never be fully mad at WWE though. When we have these conversations, and I'm like, all of these moments they've given us. Do you know what I mean? When they're at their peak, it's their best. Because think about the moments that we've after listed there. You know what I mean? Like Adam Turner's talking about the Rollins cash in. Kofi Bryan, you're talking about the Becky entrance and stuff like that. They're all recent moments. Now WrestleMania 32 is there too. Do you know what I mean? And that's recent too. But yeah, no, this stuff is why I can never fully be like anti WWE in the same way. I'm like at their peak, they hit harder than anyone I've kind of
for me seen. It's a double edged sword. It's like to have at their absolute best, because I feel like I care more about WWE wrestlers than wrestlers anywhere else. But so when it's at their absolute best, if they pull off a 10 out of 10 segment or match or moment, it is like the best. But like also on the flip side, they do the worst than anyone else. So it's kind of like, it's like, which do they do more often as well? You know what I mean? But
I'm not saying let's evaluate WWE, but it's just kind of like, I can never, with a company that's giving me those highs, I'll never be fully anti it. I'll never be one of those, I hate WWE guys, because I'll always remember those moments. You know what I mean?
I'd never want WWE to go out of business or anything like that. That'd be shite. Yeah. But
that's just where I come from, where it's like, if you give me those moments, you've built up like formulative things in my life that, I'm going to remember that. And I'm never going to be like, I blanket hate WWE. Will I be at some stage, I don't want to watch WWE for a while? Yeah, I absolutely will. I've been that way a few times before. Will I outgrow it one day? Maybe. But like, you know, I'm 34, so it's probably not like, I'm 33, but it's probably not that likely. But yeah, no, that's a good question, Laura. Okay. I'm sorry I roasted you at the start.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. At Simpson WWE, who was the best/worst celebrity involvement in WrestleMania over the years? Best, Limp Bizkit Mania 21. Worst, Motorhead Mania 21. Lemmy couldn't even remember the lyrics to the game.
Did you just remember that moment? That was amazing. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the game and how you play it. It's all about the game and how you play it.
I don't see the only words that matter, though.
No, but like, he knows one word to every verse, because then he goes, I am the game, you don't want to play me. I am the game, you don't want to play me. I am the game, you don't want to play me. I am the game, and you don't want to play me. It's just, he knows one line out of every verse. It's not that he just sings the same lyric. It's that he just knows. He's just bothered to learn the first line of every verse. He's like, got it. And it's like, you really don't. Amazing. Katie, your best or worst celeb moments?
I got distracted. Adam in the chat saying Snooki was pretty bad, but I actually think she might be my pick for favorite. Reason
such
being,
a Katie pick.
I'm a massive Jersey Shore fan. Massive. Fair. I absolutely love Snooki, and I think when they stuck her in a match, she held up her end of the bargain way better than any other celebrity, because she's a gymnast. So she was able to whip out backflip handsprings and stuff like that, and she's in a six person. She's very protected, and like, yeah, I've always liked hers. One I didn't like was when they put Maria Menounos in a match. I think it was with with Beth Phoenix and someone else. And she was wearing this lovely white gear that got absolutely destroyed by the end of it. And I remember watching, geez, is she after cutting herself or is she bleeding or what? It was so distracting because like her lovely white gear got absolutely destroyed. But it just, she wasn't good, you know what I mean? But they tried to make Maria Menounos happen for a long time. But
she also, like, she's also not famous. Like, that's the thing that went under the right. Because we don't know. Like, it's like the Drew Carey effect where we're like, I assume he's famous because WWE are telling me he's famous. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm a child. I do not know that man.
Yeah.
But she's like just an ESPN presenter. Like, she's not a mad famous. And ESPN presenters consider, like, Charlie Caruso has left and, like, gone on to be a well-hyped ESPN presenter. So, like, what they have is what she's at the level at already. Do you know what I mean? They're a generic backstage interviewer who you don't have many opinions about can do what she does. You know? And it's like, okay, well, like, why are we saying this person is amazing and should we make a big deal about it? Like, why should we care? It was very random. That's a very good show. Keen, what are yours?
I don't have one, to be honest. Like, the only, like, I had to Google. There is actually a very handy page that has a list of celebrity appearances at WrestleMania. Very specific Wikipedia page. I didn't think something like that would exist, but it's there. I looked through it and I genuinely don't remember any of it. Like, I remember Trump at Mania 23 and I remember Mayweather at 24. All the others, like, I'm going to say that the best ones are, like, the iconic new metal bands of the mid-2000s, as Joe points out, Limp Bizkit, Drowning Pill at WrestleMania 18. There you go.
They were very bad. But it was cool at the time.
There is no such thing as bad and Drowning Pill. It doesn't... Those two things do not mix. What is the other one... Saliva. There you go. That's...
Yeah. Oh, that was deadly. WrestleMania 18 was like a proper concert where they made it work. Like, they made the live performances work.
I'm going to say Pitbull, WrestleMania 33, because that's hilarious. Like, worst, we'll say Kid Rock, because as Katie pointed out, you know, his role in the Battle Royal, that's a fair show for worst. Yeah. Thank you for the question. At Chloe underscore Lynch, who's your dream WrestleMania opponents for each other? This is a great question. So who would like to start?
Keen, I want you to join the Wyatt family. And I want you to get your moment where you're standing in the ring with the guys and then out of nowhere, Eric Rowan turns around. Boom! Oh shit! What's after happening? That is the biggest amount of heat you can get, and then you have to go out and find tag team partners, and then you're like, "Who's gonna, lads? Like, I don't have anyone to team with. Like, these are really big. Like, and you're just kind of walking around, and then you hear it: 1, 2, the clock starts ticking. 3, 4, and then the Herb Business and Corporate Keen against the Wyatt family. Dream match. There you go.
That's fucking serious. I would be dead though after one hit from Eric Rowan. Like, the size difference would knock me out.
You do a Nicholas on it. So Lashley, you go and kill them all, tag you in, you pin. You need a Nicholas in that match.
I thought you said, when you said do a Nicholas, I pictured like Eric Rowan, like hitting, you know, like the heel turn, I mean. So like do a Nicholas, and I'm like, what? Did someone like hit Nicholas? Did I miss that?
Katie, it can only be one. I'm gonna give you a match. Katie against China. If it's dream match, then yes. that'd be a good one. And it'd be also like, it'd be a legitimately good match. Battle of Eras, like, kind of dream match WrestleMania style. I actually would like to see that match happen. So yeah, no, Katie against China for me.
Now, what is going to be the new Battle of Blanche?
No,
that was my answer.
Oh. No, so I'm fighting Van Damme or Eddie Guerrero. I'm fighting someone that does a really good frog splash.
Wait, sorry, we might have different answers actually. Sorry, go on.
Oh no, that's as far as I got.
I'll say my Rick answer anyway. My Rick answer is I want Battle of the Blanche 2, right? I don't know who the other lad is. I've never seen him before in my life.
Steve Mulligan.
It'd be really funny. Just two random, like, grown men, like adults with like families and jobs, no wrestling gear or nothing. Like, just like regular everyday clothes, but like in a wrestling ring, and they're doing all the same moves as last time, but without any training or like any like extra like thing over what like however many years of like inactivity. But now they're like grown men.
the stipulation is like a tables match where you have to go through a table to win. There has to be a frog splash hit. There has to be, like, you're not allowed to go for a pin until there's at least a frog splash.
What I want to see is like his opponent goes for the frog splash first and like to try and hit it and like, you know, get out of the way first, and Rick's just like, no, nobody can outdo like the Rick frog splash. And it ends like, but it ends with Rick hitting like a perfect, like picture perfect. Like,
but what's funny is WWE rings are 20 foot and we're used to wrestling in 16 foot, so it's a picture perfect frog splash that doesn't quite reach him because the ring is bigger and you haven't adjusted for the length of the ring.
So like, oh shit, good effort though.
Or like, I'm going to rip into myself now. What if I like did what I did in the Battle of Blanche and the ref goes, that's not a frog splash. And I'm like, I can't do it again.
They're stuck there forever. Like, needing to do a frog splash. So it's just like, well, fuck.
Yeah, the opponent is just down because the move actually does hurt because I can't work. And then, like, so he's continuously down. So it's just me trying and going, no, no.
It's like, Foxy, please.
This is getting embarrassing for all of us.
Can you do the frog splash? Can somebody do it for me?
Yeah, Foxy just does a perfect one. And it's like, just thank you. Good for you.
Oh, excellent. So what do we have left? Katie. Oh, it's me and Katie have three matches for each other then, is it?
Nice.
Oh, shit.
Katie, who do you have for me then? Am I fighting?
If it's on WrestleMania, I can't pick like the donut thief Adam Farrell or anyone.
Of course I can.
Oh, that would be so funny in front of like a WrestleMania crowd.
Corporate Key in
WrestleMania. They call me the donut thief, but guess what? I'm moving up to Pringles.
WrestleMania promo.
It's a hardcore match where there's the only weapons available are tubs of Pringles and nuggets. That's all there is available.
Just throwing nuggets at each other like, ah, got me in the eye.
That's fucking... Oh, that's actually a serious match. Mine is... I'd love to see Katie in the Lucha Underground universe. I'd not be the fucking... coolest shit ever. I thought maybe kill's a strong word. It'd be really funny though. And I'd like, there's like a million and one different matches that like you could literally do that are all mad because like, oh my god, I just come up with a really good one. I was gonna say Matanza Cueto because like a sacrifice to the gods match. Jenny's ever see that when he literally sacrificed people to the gods? It was mad. But I was trying to think who specializes in like arms and elbow stuff. Like Pentagon used to snap people's arms. I'm so sorry, Katie, but it just came into my head there. It's like, imagine Katie makes a big return. It's like, instead of like the OTT return where it's like, like massive pop, she comes into like the temple and everyone's like, yeah, yeah. It's like, your opponent is Pentagon. It's like,
breaks one arm and then it's like, how could he do that so shortly? He just looks at her again, grabs the other. No, not again.
Yeah, I was going to say, there will be a massive pop of that match, but it will be like elbows dislocating again.
Oh, that's actually a fucking excellent question, Chloe. Amazing. Thanks for that. I do say here at the very end, the Walking Dead chat. Does anyone have any Walking Dead chats?
Much like how this was the worst week in the world for wrestling, I think that has spilled over to the Walking Dead because this was a fucking waste of an hour.
But it's a character episode, Katie. You're meant to enjoy it. No. I hated it. I'm glad we're on the same page. No. It was boring 40 minutes of my life. Yeah. Oh my good fuck! Like what? Like I was waiting. I was actually waiting for this for me to have missed some sort of like symbolism or imagery that like either of you would like.
Yeah,
it
was actually all in Dog's head. I don't know if you got that.
Yeah. Or like that. Yeah, the dog was having illusions. It was actually just like a soup and whatever. Like none of the other shit happened. I'm like, oh, okay. But this actually, it's gas because the last episode technically didn't happen as I went on to learn, but this episode did, and yet the last episode is more eventful. Like this is just. Oh my god, like at least we were under the illusion things happened in the last episode. Do you know what I mean? Like, this was nothing. Like, I don't understand what was entered. Like, I can't believe, like, is this spoilers for like.
Yeah, well, we always have spoilers in this. This is why it's at the end of the show. So well, if you don't want to hear Walking Dead spoilers, thanks for listening. Chat to you next week.
without future spoilers in terms of like sort of spin off shows, it's sort of.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not a spoiler. The Daryl right. and Carl are doing a spin off. Yeah.
That's. Yeah. They could not have chosen two worse people to do a spin-off on. I'm so bored of these people. I'd rather see Gabriel and Aaron or Eugene, and Eugene on his own actually would be class. but like there's plenty of characters that I'm interested in. Like these are not, I mean, like again, they could easily just put on, they could do an entertaining episode, but they choose not to. And I'm just like, what I want to know is like from the writer's perspective, from like the directors and whoever made this, like what did you think was going to be entertaining? Like what was the part I was meant to enjoy about this? Like
so
like,
I read an interview with the showrunner and apparently this episode is originally supposed to be loads of really small vignettes, like almost story within a story within a story, but when they got all the footage back they realized it wouldn't cut that way, so they basically just
This episode was a botch.
This was a realize you made a bollocks of your school project the night before it's due in and you have to re-edit it. Like, that's what it sounds like. And I know, like, they're dealing with COVID and stuff because that's what the article was about. Like, about how they don't have certain cast members available and, like, all this sort of stuff. That's why there's not many walkers. That's why they don't show, like, hordes there anymore. But, like, it's just so frustrating because they can have great episodes with those constraints because they did it with Aaron and Gabriel. That's why this is extra frustrating, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, look, I may not be able to have, like, a Rosita episode. I don't know if she's available. She mustn't be if she hasn't, like, been seen.
She would have been there, probably.
Yeah.
But, like, you can give me something more interesting. I just feel like they're at the stage where they think people will watch anything involving Daryl because he was such a fan favorite.
Mm.
But it's not clicking with me like this.
Man,
this story.
They even had Jerry. They had, like, but literally one of my favorite characters. And, like, even he didn't save it for me. You know what I mean? This shit's boring. Like, fucking.
Yeah.
I don't know, Rick, what you would say about it anyway?
Like, there were redeeming features. There was a lot of times where a dog looked cute. You know what I mean? Like, if there's any episode with dog in it, I can never say that everything about it was terrible because dog was there, and dog is, like, dog being more involved isn't a bad thing. So I didn't leave this episode being mad because there's loads of shots, like, of just, do you remember dog looking at her, like, you know, trying, having a mad one in the kitchen, you know what I mean? And, like, just they cut back to dog going, and that was actually a good reaction for the episode in general. Do you know what I mean? Like, really? Really? What are you doing here? What's going on? But yeah, no, like, this episode just felt like it was building up to something that just never arrived. Because, like, I think everyone was convinced at one stage that the rat was going in the soup. And you're like, okay, it's slow now, but there's going to be a fucked up thing at the end. Then when she came across the walkers, I was like, it's going to be walker soup and she's going to feed that to the town. And that's going to be like, Carol's gone fucking next level crazy. Like, she's just lost her mind not having her Daryl kind of staple there. But then it didn't. And I thought at the very end, like, do you know where they, like, said goodbye to each other and they just walked into each other's home? I was like, one extra scene would save this, where you just have, like, you just keep the camera where it is and you just hear in the distance, you just hear Daryl go, "What happened to damn wall?" And then the episode just ends and I'm like, that would have been at least funny. But there was nothing. There's no, apart from dog, there's no redeeming factors to this. I'm not going to, like, make any rash judgments about The Walking Dead. I think this was just a whiff. It was a season 2 episode where they're, like, you know, sitting around the farm thinking about how can we churn butter in the apocalypse? You know, and that's what this was. It's like, how do you make soup? Or if your bike breaks, how would you find it? I don't mind those episodes, but there needs to be something that it builds to. There needs to be something we learned. We learned nothing about Daryl or Carol here. I like character-based episodes. I don't mind that, but there was nothing here that wasn't already established. And hearing that it was essentially a botch that just didn't work makes sense of it. So it was just like, well, we have an episode order, so we have to put this out. I watched The Talking Dead afterwards to try get some perspective on it. And, like, your man who plays Jerry is excellent at coming up with, like, bullshit that makes it sound, like, meaningful and relevant. And he's really cool in real life as well. I really like the guy who plays Jerry. But they were just talking out of their hoop, and because, like, it's an official Walking Dead show, so they can never say that was shite. Because they have the actors, like, Carol and Jerry on there, so, like, they can't turn around and go, yeah, that was a waste of me life.
I turn around, the acting was fucking terrible as well. I thought that was fucking shite. Like,
I had to quarantine for my family and, like, get a break and, like, work in a pandemic for this. Like, I would have loved to see it, but no, it was a waste. But I think next week is going to be good. I don't know if you have watched any clips, so I won't go into it, but, like, next week I've seen a sneak peek and I know the general team, and I think next week is going to be excellent.
This is the finale.
Yeah, and I know who they're focusing on, and yeah, no, it's going to be really, really good. So next week they're going to get back on track. Walking Dead always does this, and we forgive them when they come up with an amazing finale. So I think that's going to be what next week is. I hope so anyway, because they need something to justify these few episodes.
Oh, man, like, I would have been better off kind of just not knowing about this last 5 episodes. But I think they'll do something cool because it's the last one or whatever. So I will definitely watch it. And I will look forward to it. I do agree with you. Like, they could give me the most boring 11 episodes in the world, but if 12 is good, that's all I'm going to care about. You know what I mean? And the thing is,
this has been like, hang on a minute, let me do the maths. Possibly half my life I've been watching The Walking Dead now. So I'm not going to give up on it at any point, you know what I mean? Like, this is the only show I still watch after this. I'm you know what I mean? Like, I don't really have time to watch TV for the most part, like, but...
But just to contextualize these episodes and kind of continue being a fan, because remember how high we were coming off the last season. Just to contextualize it, these are just bonus. Like, I think they didn't expect next season to be their last season. I think it was just kind of wrapped up earlier than they expected, and they were given an extra long so the season is going to start in the summer, apparently, rather than the usual October it does. But there's going to be 24 episodes rather than the usual 16 there is.
Summer... Oh, 22, you mean?
No, this summer.
What?
Oh, what?
As far as I know, I think it is.
Can't be right. The gap's too small. Are you? I think
I could be mistaken on that, but I looked it up because I was as surprised as you. I thought we're going to be waiting a year or so, but no, this is... So I think these episodes were just extra because they're like, well, we don't have the characters exactly where we want them and we need to put it in. So I don't think they're that significant, but I think there's just character beats they want to have. Like, they want us going into the last season knowing Carol and Daryl tension. You know what I mean? So that's why they're kind of just, they're just setting that up there so that we'll be ready for it in the last season. I think in the last season, they're going to have a lot, and of every fate they're going to pull it out of the bag. I wouldn't worry too much. But also worth noting is that next week is the fourth series finale of series 10. So you had the mid-season finale.
Oh, season 10.
Yeah.
I was looking up season 12 release date. I was like, why isn't it coming up?
There's no, it's because it wouldn't be, there won't be a season 12.
It fucking is summer 21.
Yeah.
Oh,
I did
shit.
Not know that.
Oh, I know it's 22. I was like, yeah. Oh, what the fuck?
So, like, this is the fourth season finale. So you had the mid-season finale. You had the unexpected season finale last year because they had to, they couldn't do the last episode because COVID kicked in. And then you had the COVID episode, which was the actual season finale. And now you've got the bonus season finale. I think we all agree. Season 10 needs to end and just get on with the business. But I think next week, even what I know of next week, I'm like, more has happened in the little clip that I've seen of it than the entire five episodes. So I'm excited. I can't wait.
That's not a huge bar, but I am looking forward to it though. I can't like, for me, you know, again, like, literally, you heard me just there. Like, you could literally sit me through like 20 minutes of nothing, and then at the end of it, I'm like, oh, that was shite. But next week, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I turn so fast in The Walking Dead, I'll always have time for it. Like, one thing I just disagree with you on when it comes to The Walking Dead, you mentioned Dog. Now, I'm not going to criticize Dog or his acting abilities, excellent stuff, but I hate when they use dogs in The Walking Dead or animals. I don't, because it's like, I'm just anxious waiting for like a, like, I didn't watch Shiva's death scene. I just skipped through it because I'm like, I don't watch whatever it is, like dogs on screen. It's like, the how this is going to end isn't, it's not worth me, like, I'm just going to feel sad, and it's not like there's going to be any payoff that will like unsad me. Like, there's no point in me watching this, like, you know
there's a website you can check for that.
But you can't do it with The Walking Dead because it's
oh, because they're watching it live. Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah, that's just, that website's very handy. Is it, what's it, Will the Dog Die or something?
Yeah. But like, it doesn't just do animals. It does like triggers for everything. Like, if there's something in particular, like if a certain theme is like something you just don't want to watch, you can go in and check, is that theme going to appear in the film you're about to watch?
Or that's deadly.
Incident, or like, it's a really good website for that.
For me, whenever I watch Dog and scenes, I'm like, I just get anxious. I'm like, what if something happens to him? So I just skip through it. I'm like, I can't. Or when Carl's like giving out to him, I'm like, stop giving out to me, you dickhead. Yeah, like, skip through
Carol,
it.
Carl, you need to die now.
At one stage, I thought Carol was putting Dog in the soup and I was getting very upset.
No. Carol loves Dog.
Yeah, I think if he, I also think that'd be kind of a major death as well. That's why I'm like, oh. Yeah.
I don't think he's dying. I don't think he's dying.
I think he'll probably accompany them. If they have a spin-off show, he'll probably accompany them on there.
Yeah, I think he's the third character in the spin-off. Like, I think even this was just setting up there. Like, I think if we learned anything, it's that Dog has an allegiance to Carol when she chose her over Daryl. Do you know what I mean? I think that was significant. And that was probably, this would come into play later. But again, I don't think it's that this spin-off with these is going to be bad. It's that I think now with Daryl and Carol, they don't want to give anything away with the spin-off in mind. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So now we're just left with really bad ads for it, where we think nothing's going to happen because they're holding back all the good shit. You know what I mean? So it's not good. It's not smart. It wouldn't be the way to go, but I think that's where they're at with it.
I'll just say, just for next week, just because we're having TV, can someone please ask about Falcon and Winter Soldier? Just
Yes.
Can someone please just ask that question for next week?
Same. And there's so much to discuss.
That was the best TV show this week, so I'll happily discuss that next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's going to be really good for the rest. We spend enough time. Someone ask, and they will, and we'll be good to go.
Yeah. I'm wearing a Katie Harvey shirt. That's proper embarrassing. I only realized that there. Literally, I looked down on my phone. I was like, oh, God. bye.